My name is Rodan Yendo. I am 11 years old. I live with my mommy and daddy in a place called Kiamaiko in the big city of Nairobi. It is not easy for my parents to provide food or pay rent because they do not have jobs. Living in the slums is not easy. Most kids are not sure whether they can stay in school and create a better life.
My name is Mabel Larot. I am 10 years old. I now live with my aunt Rose because my parents both died. I live with 5 sisters and 1 brother near a village called Ultra. My parents had wanted me to take care of the goats, so I didn't go to school. Now my aunt tries her best to make sure I remain in school. Sometimes we sleep hungry because we do not have food to eat. Most boys like me spend every day tending to the family goats out in the wilderness.
I have a sponsor and that changed everything. When I wake up, I say my prayers, then I get ready and brush my teeth. I put on my Moi uniform so I can leave for school. I like walking to school with my friends.
The best time of my day is when I get to go to school at Mission of Hope. I wake up very early to walk many miles to school with my sister so we can eat porridge.
I am in grade 3 and Mrs. Chalo is my teacher. I love my Bible classes and learning more about God. I also like when I get to dance with my friends. While in school, my favorite food is rice and beans. I also like talking with teacher Amaya because she makes me laugh.
I am in grade 4. Mr. Muti is my teacher. He does a good job teaching us. I now know how to read and write in English. One time, I was not feeling well until they gave me medicine and I got better.
When I get home after school, I help my mommy clean the dishes and she helps me with my homework.
I play football with my friends and then hurry back home so that I can do my homework.
Did you hear that? My life is different because I have a sponsor. And I got to just share with you as we start. I don't know what you came to church expecting today, but we could get a little bit uncomfortable because we're going to ask you to maybe step in and help change the life of a child somewhere in this world. And lots of places you can do that. Hi, I'm Brian Myers. I get to be one of the staff here at Academy Christian Church. And I'm so excited whenever they let me preach. Because I haven't preached for about 3 weeks or so, no, but Jeff did a great job, and John and Kurt, they all did a great job, but it's good to be back with you. And I just want to share with you, about 15 years ago, there was a representative from a mission organization. They came to ACC and in a very convincing way presented the difference that sponsoring children can make in the trajectory of their lives, physically and educationally and spiritually. And that's when child sponsorships became a part of our culture here at Academy Christian. And if I wanted to go to a church that I would be proud of, I'd say, I want to go a place where they take child sponsorship seriously. And because of that eye-opening presentation, there was a groundswell of conviction among us that we needed to do something as a church. And so we began encouraging our church family to sponsor kids. And I think for the latest counts, probably more than that, because some that we don't know about, but over 300 children, their lives are being transformed today because folks in our church family have sponsored them. And so I want to welcome you today to Academy Christian Church. If you're new here or have just started coming, we're glad you're here, whether you're here in person, whether you're joining us online or over at our Westside campus. Every other year now at ACC, we actually take time to do a Child Sponsorship Sunday. And the theme that we've chosen for today is Everyone Matters. And I hope you know that the idea of child sponsorship may have come from the Bible itself. Imagine that. Child sponsorship actually does have a biblical example. It can be found in the second book, just the second book of the Old Testament, Exodus. And the benefactor was actually a pretty well-known person in the Bible. Ever heard of Moses? He was around a lot. Well, in Exodus chapter 2, we discover that a wealthy and resourced woman who just happened to be the daughter of Pharaoh over Egypt, she went to bathe in the Nile River one day. There she encountered a basket floating in the water that contained a little baby boy. She could tell that this child really belonged to the Hebrews, who were slaves to the Egyptians. And that meant that they lived in extreme poverty and under very difficult conditions. And when she saw this little baby boy, she was moved, in essence, to say, I'm going to sponsor this child. And so we read in Exodus chapter 2, Pharaoh's daughter said to Moses' sister, hey, take this baby home to his mom, nurse him for me, and I will pay you. I will cover the expenses. And so as far as I can tell, that's the first recorded child sponsorship in the Bible. Now, I realize that might not be a child sponsorship as we understand it, but it is an example of someone providing support for a child that is living in poverty. And before we go any farther this morning, I just want to be clear that our emphasis today is not intended to be fueled by guilt, causing anybody to feel guilty, but rather by conviction. My intention isn't to have anybody feel guilty here today enough to sponsor a child, because that kind of guilt often just leads to regret, because you end up doing something that you really didn't want to do. What I'm hoping for is some conviction then, so that'll lead you to do something that you really want to do, and it creates far more healthy responses. So why would we take an entire Sunday just to focus on child sponsorship? Well, I would say it's because the need in this world is so great. And really, many of us, if we would just think about it, we could do something about it. Because here really is the grim reality. There are around 333 million children in the world today that are living under what we would call extreme poverty. And that means less than $2.15 a day, which is just barely surviving. And so I want you to imagine all of the children that live in the United States and Canada, as well as Central America, living in that kind of poverty. That's the scale that we're talking about. And when we zoom out a little bit even from that, there are even more kids that are living on less than $6.85 a day. That obviously isn't just barely surviving, but it's still without consistent food, safe housing, or education. And that number is actually around 1.43 billion kids. And so as you can tell, the need is overwhelming, but so is the opportunity, because a majority of us have the resources to help. And because when God's people step in generosity and compassion, lives actually change. Now, Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 25, he said, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. And we're talking today about the least of these. And behind every one of those numbers that I mentioned is a name and a life that matters to God and is definitely considered the least of these. And so when the Apostle Paul was trying to encourage some Christ followers in the city of Corinth to provide financial support like we are today under difficult circumstances, I want you to notice what he said in 2 Corinthians 8:12. He says, for if the willingness is there, and that's where I hope you just think about, in my heart, is there a willingness? The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And I want to say, even though we can see the need is overwhelming, we got to remember God works through one child, one family, one act of kindness at a time, because everyone matters. Now, if that really didn't validate the emphasis that we're giving to child sponsorship today, we also got to understand that important truth is that what we're talking about is based actually on biblical principles. That's part of the reason why we're doing it. And there's three biblical principles specifically. The first one, of course, would be the biblical principle of generosity. And the Bible talks about how important it is that we share resources that we have with others. We see that a lot in the Old Testament. You know, God actually told his people, when you're farming and you go in to harvest your crops, don't go all the way to the edge. Leave some of that there so that the poor people can come in and they can be supplied. We see it all over the New Testament. But at least one clear example was given by John the Baptist when he was interacting with some people who were very serious about following God. And in Luke chapter 3, he'd been teaching. And these people, they said to John, they said, "Hey, what should we do?" The crowd asked John. And notice what he answered. "If anybody has two shirts, they ought to share with someone who has none. And if anyone has food, they should do the same." And it doesn't matter what level you are, because people who've seen what it's like are moved to this type of generosity. Travis would be a great example of that. Listen to his story.
Well, I'm Travis Williams, and I went on the Kenya 2025 trip to Nairobi. I'm 18 years old. I work at Chick-fil-A Northgate as a supervisor. So the first week we were doing medical checkups, and he was PP2, so he was one of those little kids that we were checking. And I saw his name the first week, and I thought, that's really cool. He's got the same name as me. Afterwards, the second week when we were doing the VBS, I reached out to the person that was in charge of all the sponsorships and asked if he was sponsored. So that's kind of how that process started. He is the cutest little kid, really, really quiet. And then after I got a little bit of playing with him, he started opening up and then was smiling. And then, so yeah, he was just a joy to have around. After one of the VBS days, I was talking with his social worker, and we were able to visit his house. So we walked through the slums, and his house, he lives with his mom and grandma. So I was able to sponsor Travis, but I still felt that I wanted to sponsor another kid. I had felt that I needed to trust God more with my finances, and $40 a month, I make enough to cover that, and I feel like that I felt like I could impact another life, and I kind of was prepared for that. So her name was Lanisha, so they know who I am. I'm able to have a relationship with them. In fact, I've sent messages to them, and I've had conversations through letters with them. So I think that's probably the way that I'm most impactful, is that somebody across the world cares for them, and I do. But my sponsorship, the money, it keeps them in school, and it gives them a little bit of a ledge.
You know what I learned from Travis? I mean, if you work at Chick-fil-A, you could support a child. You could sponsor actually a kid. I think it's pretty amazing. So that would be really generosity. A second principle that we see in the Bible is the principle of compassion. And compassion literally is caring about the needs of others enough to actually do something about it. And we read about that in James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Now you wonder, why would those two groups of people be mentioned specifically? Well, because back in that day, they were the most likely to have little or no economic support in their lives. They were literally on their own. And then we go back to Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus literally there describes a time of judgment when all of us, everyone who's ever lived, is going to stand before him, and he's going to separate the people into two different groups. Sheep on the right, and that's the group you want to be a part of, and goats on the left. And it says in Matthew 25, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" And why was that going to happen? Well, he says, "For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed some clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me." Folks, what he's describing there is compassion. Now, when you read that, you maybe could think, well, that sounds like the way you impress Jesus is by caring for those that he cares about. But I want to point out that those folks hadn't given any thought about what they were doing, that was somehow going to impress Jesus. They weren't even aware of the significance of what they were doing. In fact, they sounded a bit surprised when Jesus said that. They said, "Jesus, when did we ever see you in those circumstances?" They were simply meeting needs. That's what compassion is all about. And that's what I think the Frazees figured out when they saw this happen as well?
Well, the first girl that we got is Elizabeth, and she's 11. And she is actually living with her aunt currently and her cousins and her two younger siblings because her parents can't afford to keep her and her two younger siblings. And then the little boy is David, and he's 5, and it's his first year at Mohi. And he is the middle child. He has a younger sister. We got to meet their families.
The home visits were definitely... They were very hard to go and see how the kids were actually living and how they walk home alone every day in, like, really bad areas. And it was just crazy to see, like, how grateful and joyful they are at school, seeing, like, the bad conditions that they live in at home.
Yeah, I think it just made it a lot more personal because you know the kid, you know their walk to school, their walk home, you know their family, like, what they're going home to every day. And so it just made it even more personal, like, we knew these kids on a deeper level.
I think it makes us feel like they're family, too. You know, it ends up being a small amount for us to, you know, sponsor every month. It's $40 for a child at Mohi, but it's worth far more than that. Yeah, I say, you know, you might not quite understand without visiting there how impactful it is, but I think that just realizing that it is their ticket to have a chance to get out of the poverty that they're in. They don't have many opportunities, but giving them the hope of going to school and getting an education and getting healthcare, that access is just priceless.
Compassion makes a difference. But the third biblical principle is the principle of love. And the principle of love is just putting the needs of others actually ahead of your own. And I would say the natural expression of you and I experiencing the love of God is that your life, actually, his love begins to flow through you to others. That ought to be the natural thing that happens. That's why the Apostle John, I think, wrote in 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, it doesn't even affect them, how can the love of God be in that person? Because when you're confronted with a need like that, you'll respond, I think, the way you'll see that Kevin and Faith decided they need to respond.
My sponsored child, her name's Fatuma. She's 7. I didn't really pick her. I let the social workers, I told them that I was interested in sponsoring a child, and so they were able to give me a child who was in a lot of need.
My sponsored child, his name is Livingston. He's 5, and I actually waited kind of towards the end of the trip, and I wasn't necessarily planning on sponsoring a child on the trip, but kind of my heart was moved by just the whole week and a half hanging out in the Mohi environment. And so similarly, I asked the social worker, I told him I didn't have any specifics. A younger child was kind of what I was looking for, just for them to find somebody that was in need.
One of the reasons I decided to sponsor was because during our medical visits, I ended up tying and untying a lot of kids' shoes, and that was really hard, and my hands were really gross every day, but none of the shoes fit them. And that was really hard. Like, just shoes, like regular things we don't think about every day. Like, I have who knows how many pairs of shoes, and these kids don't even have one that fits them. And they're all falling apart.
I think for me, it made the trip, the communication of the trip after I got home with our family, a little more real and easier. Like, it wasn't just this 2-week thing. We went to Kenya, we did these really impactful things. We worked in the clinic, we worked with the kids, we did a VBS, we went to a safari. It was a lot of fun. Yay, it's over. You're back home, Dad. It was something that was lasting from the trip. So now the app is actually really easy to use. The message back and forth on the app with the social worker and the kids. There's a picture of Livingston on there, so I get to communicate, I get to talk to my other the rest of the family that let him on the trip with us. It just kind of makes the whole experience, it just brings it, extends it out, and it brings it kind of full circle and kind of makes it more impactful.
Now, I don't know what happens to you when you hear a number of like 333 million kids living in extreme poverty. And what is it a difference going to make if I sponsor one child? And I guess that's what I would call really the one conundrum. I mean, you're going to think to yourself, well, I can't really even make a dent in the need. And if I'm only going to help one person, well, what difference does that make? And so I just say, with the need being so great, one really can kind of appear to be an insignificant number. But got to remind you, Jesus often dealt with crowds, lots of people, but remarkably, he would always make time for the one. And on one particular occasion, there was a blind man who was trying to get Jesus' attention sitting alongside of the road, and he was calling out to Jesus loudly. And in Mark 10, we read about all the people that were rebuking him, blind Bartimaeus, to be quiet. But he would just shout all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I want you to notice what Jesus did. He stopped and he called him. In the midst of the many, Jesus demonstrated the importance of one. Everyone was important to Jesus. And I think that's because Jesus understood the potential of one. And that's why everyone matters. One person actually really can make a world of difference, either for good or for bad. And we could talk about the bad side. Adolf Hitler would be an example of that. You know, an estimated 42 million people died as a result of World War II. But then there's a guy you probably never heard of. His name would be Edward Kimball, who was just an ordinary Sunday school teacher back in the 1800s. And he decided one day that he was going to visit a 17-year-old shoe clerk, store clerk, from his class and personally share Jesus with him. Well, that young man just happened to be Dwight L. Moody. Some of you have heard of him. He went on to be one of the greatest evangelists in history, leading hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. And his impact is still being felt today. You see, one person positioned by God can make a significant impact. Which really brings us to the point of this message and the reason behind its title, Everyone Matters. Because I think what paralyzes us sometimes is that the need is so great, it's so overwhelming, that we end up doing nothing. And I guess what I would want to encourage you today is, folks, do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. Just do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. I think Edward Hale got it right when he said, "Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." I think a lot of us have probably heard the story about the man walking along a beach one day, and there were thousands of starfish that had washed up at high tide. And he comes across a boy throwing them back one at a time into the ocean. And he says to the young man, he says, "What are you doing? It's not going to make any difference." And the boy picks up another starfish and throws it in and says, it makes a difference for that one. And it makes a difference when you sponsor one child. And I think Jim and Nancy Collier figured that out as well. Listen to their story.
Well, I'm Jim Collier, and this is my wife, Nancy. And we have been to Ecuador now 4 times for Nancy, 3 for me. We were able to see our 2 children that we sponsor there, who are now both 17 years old. We first began sponsoring them when they were 6. They were full-grown 17-year-olds, and yet it seemed natural because we've gotten pictures from Compassion and communications from them that have kind of let us keep up with the boys. So this trip, as I've said, and I'll let Nancy talk about her experience in a minute, but was through Compassion. ACC planted a church with an organization called Stadia back in about 2013, which allowed Compassion to have their project. And we now have something like 272 children enrolled in this project. I think almost all of them are sponsored by ACC members and attendees. And so it's amazing to go there because we now know all the people that work there. We know most of the kids. And we especially love getting to see the children that we sponsor.
Yeah, there were 6 when we first saw them, and they've come to really trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. They've really come a long way in their faith journey, and it's really fun to see them now. They have hope where before they didn't have the hope. Now they're looking forward to a better life.
I guess just to reiterate that across the years we have seen that what we do and what compassion does really makes a difference.
But it's like a lot of things, whenever you bring God into the equation, it's amazing how you come out ahead. You sponsor somebody and you want to give and you want to help where the need is, but you always get back more than you put in, always.
Get back more than you ever could, always. And you know what's so amazing? All four the opportunities that we have to sponsor kids, we've had people from our church go and visit those places and spaces and have seen the impact and the difference that it actually makes. And what my challenge is going to be to you today is just going through this whole idea, hey, I'm only one, but I am one. And even though I can't do everything, I could do something. And the something I can do, I ought to do. And by the grace of God, I will. That's where I'm hoping that you're going to land today, because we have several opportunities where you can sponsor some kids. There's an insert in your program today that talk about those different areas where you can sponsor kids. You can sponsor kids in Bangladesh, and there's some information about that. There's a table out in the foyer, some amazing kids and amazing places where that's really some help being done. You could support some kids in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, with Missions of Hope International. We call it MOHI. And we've sent teams there the last 3 years. Some amazing things have happened there. There's Houses of Hope International, and their sponsorship's a little bit higher because it's a smaller organization, but they're still doing an amazing, amazing work. And the Compassion International, we have a table out there, Steve, that was just up and spoke. He'll be willing to talk to you there and encourage you to be involved in that as well. Whatever the case, I would just encourage you to do something. No matter what age or stage you find yourself in life. In fact, I would just encourage, if you're a grandparent here today and you found out that, you know, your grandkids are kind of distracted and don't really have much time for you, think about sponsoring a kid who would maybe love to invite you into their life, because there's ways that you can communicate with them, find out what's happening, and make an incredible blessing, because everyone matters. And so aren't you glad you came to church today? So I could tug on your heartstrings a little bit and just make you think about the difference that your life could make. And it's not going to affect your life that much, but it can change the trajectory of a kid's life if you get involved. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for really stirring Academy Christian Church a lot of years ago to get involved in child sponsorship. Because really, these are the least of those that we're helping out. But we're not just giving them a handout, we're giving them a hand up to a better life because of an education, because of love, but mostly, Father, just because of them have an opportunity to hear about your grace and your love for them too. So I thank you for all the kids that are blessed with sponsors, not only here, but around the world. And I'm just praying today that you're going to move some hearts of some people to finally step in, to get plugged in, to get involved, and just to make this a part of their ministry in life. Is to make a difference in the life of a kid on the other side of the world. Father, do that in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.